This is the second tape of the Blacks. Okay, Jim, you were thinking of a story you were going to say?
Yeah, when I was real small at home on the farm with my dad and mom, there was a young fellow, probably in his teens or early mid-20s maybe, I don't recall, who worked. He didn't have a home, and he would work around for the different farmers in this area, and they would give him his board and keep, and maybe give him a little money once in a while, but generally just board and keep. And he would help with the chores and, and with the crops and that type of thing. But I recall one day he came driving down our road, down our lane, and in a T-model Ford, little pickup truck, all shined up, looked pretty as can be, five extra tires in the back of that truck, and I don't know what year T-model it was, but it was, it had a buggy top, it would be in the teens somewhere, but he had purchased that truck from John Rogers. John Rogers
in Grove City?
Yeah, we were out along the Mercer Road, where Kimes is now.
Yeah.
Adjacent to it, there's a house and kind of a bit of a junkyard there.
Yeah. Across the street, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the corner there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So this spot on the Mercer Road was always referred to as John Rogers Junkyard.
Oh.
But anyway, this young fellow had bought that T-model Ford in running condition with five extra tires for $5.
Wow. $5? What year was that about?
Well, it would be somewhere
mid-30s.
In the teens.
Very 30s.
Yeah, that would be 30s. The late 30s is when that would have happened.
$5.
But as we mentioned in the war effort, when they're cleaned up and the scrap drives.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Even after the war, but of course they deteriorated then, you could walk out through pasture fields and maybe stone piles, and you would come upon
old cars,
sitting there just rusting away to nothing. We had several that I suppose had been my grand or my dad's cars.
Yeah.
Back in our field, in a place where it was kind of a hole where we put everything we didn't want. And there were T-model cars back there.
Oh, pity.
But,
great treasure trove lost, I suppose.
Yeah, really.
You know, speaking of these hired hands, were they a peculiar breed? Or did they tend to be unmarried men or young guys who might otherwise be in orphanages or what?
I would think that was it mostly. Mm-hmm. Young fellows that didn't have any place to go and weren't really undesirable. They didn't have a home.
Mm-hmm.
No method, no way of support. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any subsidies or.
Yeah. I wonder if that was a kind of, when we lost so many farms, that kind of individual lost a good safe haven.
That's probably good. Undoubtedly.
Where are those people today?
Yeah.
Well, they're the street people in the cities today.
Are they?
Yeah, right. Probably right. That's interesting.
Yeah, another thing that we were talking about, Louise had brought to my memory the time George Bobo's airplane crashed.
George, B-O-B-O?
Yeah, the coal man.
What happened there?
His empire was made during the war years and business.
In World War II?
Yeah.
This was about 49, I think, the plane crash.
Yeah, this would be after the war years, but around 49 or 50. His pilot, and I think his girlfriend, his name was Bell. And I think he was from around the Harrisville area originally.
Bell was, you mean?
Up checking out the airplane or going for a
Brown here?
Yeah.
Was he killed?
Yes.
Oh, you've already gone.
He and his girlfriend was killed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was out close to the old Brown Town school where Louise hailed from. Which brought in mind another incident that was dear to me when I was a small boy. It was the airmail pickup.
Oh, yeah. Wait, they wouldn't land, you mean? I wondered
That's
about
right.
that. I asked about some people about that. Nobody knew anything about it.
Oh, that was... To me, that was thrilling. My brother and I were, of course, always interested in airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And it must have been in the very early 40s. I believe that we were still... I know that we were still on the farm. And we sold the farm in 1943, so it was prior to 43 that they started this.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the back of the community park in the Mine Hills, they had two high metal poles.
Are you talking about Grove City?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Had two high metal poles.
You mean it was not at the airfield?
No.
Oh.
No.
Where again was it?
Back of the community park.
On the west side or the...
It would be on the west side of the park.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's ball fields there now, and it's probably about a quarter of a mile from where the new armory building is. It would be east of the armory building.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Area. I think there's a lot of little league ball fields in there now.
Mm-hmm.
But they had two high metal poles.
How high were they roughly? High as this house? The chimney?
I would say about 40 feet.
40 feet high?
40 feet,
uh-huh.
Somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
And they were made like flagpoles.
Mm-hmm.
And they would pull rope up between the poles, and the mailbag would lay on the ground,
mm-hmm.
but attached to that
rope.
And the mail plane, which was a Stinson Reliant, which was a single engine but very powerful,
mm-hmm.
airplane. It was a four-place airplane and was very stable.
Oh.
It had very wide wings at
mm-hmm.
the root of the wing. Fly very slowly.
Uh-huh.
So, rain or shine,
mm-hmm.
sleet or hail, it would come in and it would slow the plane down and come low enough, drop a hook at it, which
uh-huh.
would catch a hold of this rope. And at the same time, it drew the mail bag out.
The one arriving.
Was arriving
uh-huh.
and snatched the other one up. And
mm-hmm. Did it work easily? Was it a good idea?
It seemed to work very well.
Did they ever have any trouble with it?
I heard, and I never saw any details on it, but I heard that they had crashed an airplane somewhere
oh.
in the process during that period. Now, whether it was just the one or whether it was several, I don't know.
You know when they stopped it?
Jim, I'm not sure. It must have gone on for, I would say, nearly 10 years. Now, they
mm-hmm.
moved the location from out in the Mine Hills to the other side of Grove City, out in back where the old skating, or where the skating rink is now, by the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
That company, well, in fact, I had a friend that built model airplanes down in Butler, and he was a pilot in World War II, and had been shot down and had a lot of stories told about the war. He had been offered a job flying that mail route when he came back from
after World War II.
After World War II. And he told me he
mm-hmm.
flew the route.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the more he thought about it, he said, it was a lovely trip, you know.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything difficult about it. The weather was fine. But they flew in all kinds of weather.
Every day.
All kinds of windy conditions. Uh-huh. A big airplane coming down so close to the ground.
Oh.
You know, every little town. And
yeah, a little downdraft and he'd be in the ground.
That's
yeah.
a risk.
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
And so he decided against it.
Uh-huh.
That company, by the way, that did that, that started that service, that is the same, or that was the beginning of what is now U.S. Air.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, in fact, some people, and it's interesting, the who's who in that, Reach Cordick was one of them.
Oh.
And there were other names that were mentioned that I had heard of the people,
mm-hmm.
and most people are familiar with from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But they had originally founded,
mm-hmm.
established this airmail pickup service, and then it grew into Allegheny Airlines.
Yeah.
And now
well, that's interesting.
There.
I wondered if that, I was going to ask that very question.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have thought there'd be that much airmail out of Grove City every day to pay for it. 12 letters a day?
I don't know that there was.
I wonder if they sent regular mail out that way.
Seems like it'd be faster.
No, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I'm glad you brought that up. It's in my sheet, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if anything else comes to mind, let me know.
Yeah, well, I just thought of those things.
Because I got plenty of time. Boy, you're a good interviewee. You're going to go right in this book, just as you are.
Oh, and if we think what it was the other day, I know you'd have liked that little item, and we haven't come.
Well, it'll come to you, and I'll get it down.
Okay.
Well, how about you, Louise? How'd you fit your family happen to come to Grove City? You told me you came here when you at the age of 12.
Yeah,
from
right.
Pittsburgh.
Well, Daddy had been born in this area.
Oh, I
though.
See.
Yeah.
Oh, so your family is originally from this area?
Yeah, my father's family.
What was your maiden name?
Brown.
Brown.
And so
Black
Daddy
and Brown.
Came from Browntown, the way Jim's ancestors came from Blacktown.
Where's Browntown?
Oh, let's see. 3 or 4 miles east of Grove City, and Blacktown is 4 or 5 miles west.
Oh, where is Browntown? On the Harrisville Road?
Going down the Slippery Rock Road. It's off to the left.
Where at? Where would you turn?
The railroad crosses as you go across to Forestville, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the schoolhouse was tucked in just against the railroad.
You don't mean that gas station on the Slippery Rock Road, do you? Where that
yeah.
store, that grocery store and
Kyle's?
Gas station? Yeah, Kyle's Corners, is that it?
Well, let's see, that's one road.
That's a road 2 blocks.
Down right. too far.
To Browntown.
No, that's
no, it's
one
too
road
far,
huh? south.
Well,
oh, I think
south.
I know then. There's some trailers,
right.
some mobile
mm-hmm.
homes, and that.
Walker's Corner.
Yeah.
You turn
I
left.
Think I know. Okay.
Well, you can
cross
run
the railroad.
At Kyle's and go down there to.
Yeah.
Bunker?
Bunker's
turn to
Corner.
The left.
And
But I've been on that road, because we come from Benetti's that way, you see. You can either take, what's it, Walker's Corners, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can take Kyle's Corners. And each comes to Route 8. Or to. I'm trying to think where Browntown would be on that road. How far? Oh, you cross over the railroad, that
yeah.
bridge that goes over the railroad tracks. Is that
yeah.
on Walker Corner Road? Isn't that
well,
the one?
As Jim says, it's
uh-huh.
sort of between those two, Kyle's Corners and Walker's Corners. There's another road
oh, there's another
parallel
road.
With the Slipper Road.
I have to
road.
Look for it. Okay.
Is that 173?
Yeah,
Slipper Road?
Right.
Okay, it parallels with that. It's just a little dirt road back in the country
oh,
there.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
But that's actually where the railroad crossed and where the school was nestled in against the
oh,
railroad
interesting.
Bed.
Uh-huh. So your father was born at Browntown?
Right, very close to the school.
Uh-huh.
He remembers lots of times when his stepmother came to school with the whip and brought him home to the strawberry patch to pick berries.
Oh, really?
To the pea patch to pick berries out of the row.
Even right from school?
Yeah.
Oh, they had to, huh?
Well, yeah, she thought so.
Uh-huh.
She was pretty.
Strict?
Pardon?
Strict?
Yeah, that's a mild way of expressing it. We have big tales about her, but that's getting off the subject.
Yeah.
But
were your grandparents from Browntown? Who founded the town, do you know? Was it one of your ancestors?
Not that I know of. Newton Ebenezer Brown is my ancestor who...
I'm sure it must have been your ancestors. Browns in Browntown.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Not the whole very many Browns.
That's right, yeah.
But he's sort of the outstanding member of the family because he was a pastor.
Oh, he was.
Tell him how your stepmother, grandfather's
second wife. Well, it's this lady who would drive the kids home, and especially Daddy. He didn't tell about the other children being brought home from school.
It was a stepmother, huh?
Yes, that's why.
Maybe she didn't like him.
Yeah.
Well,
that would have certainly been his conclusion.
She was very domineering, I think, as I get it, even with the new husband.
Oh.
Because she'd make up her mind things were going to happen, they had to happen. And
at one point,
the story goes, and this was told by
her own daughter.
Her own daughter. She said that mother decided that they were going to go somewhere, and stepfather wasn't so inclined, so mother told the kids all to get in the buggy, and she grabbed the hose of the chassis and started down the road with it.
Wow, very determined, huh?
He wouldn't hitch the horse, so she just pulled the cart.
Is that right? Wow. Bound and determined.
And
huh?
So there are many stories like that about this woman. And
was he a Presbyterian? Now,
yeah,
your her husband was your grandfather, the pastor. Is that right?
Great-grandfather. Yeah, that was Newton Ebenezer Brown, and then Willis
was he
was
English or Scotch? Scotch-Irish.
Scotch-Irish.
Uh-huh. Presbyterian, huh?
Yes. Uh-huh. What's the intersection down there where Patterson's furniture store is? Morse Quarters?
You mean over there on the Newcastle Road?
Well...
Patterson's Furniture, isn't that
down
on the...
Down towards 79 from your...
Yeah, that would be on Newcastle Road. Yeah, I don't know the name of that corner, but I know the one you're talking about.
The little Presbyterian church.
Yeah, that
Wolf
white.
Creek.
Yes,
yeah.
Uh-huh. That was his church, huh?
For over 20 years.
Is that right?
Actually, it was the church that stood there before that church.
There was a fire.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it was burned
back. When was he pastor of that church?
From 1868 to 1866 to... 1886.
Okay. Well, he was your great-grandfather?
That's right.
And who was your grandfather? His son?
Willis Brown.
And what did he do?
He was a farmer, as far as I know. That's
where did his farm? Oh, in Browntown?
Very close to the school.
And your father was his son? And Neil
Brown.
And where did he live?
Well, he left the farm. As soon as he could get away from his stepmother, which was probably in his early teen years. He didn't finish high school, went to Pittsburgh and worked on a dairy, married mother.
Was Pittsburgh the promised land, sort of?
Yes.
Thing?
Oh, very
or far away from stepmother, I thought.
Yeah.
It would be a promised.
Whereabouts in Pittsburgh? Did he ever talk about Pittsburgh?
Oh, yes. He was.
Of course, you lived there.
He ran. The milk road at night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, Daddy would leave. So when he tucked us in at night, he said our prayers with us, and we always closed with this little watch out for the rabbits, post, cops, cars, and school children. And I still say that to my kids when I tuck them in at night.
Oh, he was a Christian, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe Daddy was.
Good. Well, how did he get his job on the milk run?
Well, I believe, having come from a farm, born
just
and raised on one, he went to one for a job.
Was your grandfather's farm a milk, a dairy farm, or?
Not necessarily. They had milk cattle, but I don't think they shipped it or anything. It was mostly for the family's benefit. But he did go to one where they had a large dairy herd. in Pittsburgh, one of the early dairies.
Was Otto
Well, he worked first for Shevlin. No, not sure. I can't remember the name of the one he worked for first, but he did go to Otto Suburban Dairy, and that's where he worked.
Whereabouts?
Most of my
north
childhood.
Side? North side or south side? Allegheny? Was it still Allegheny in those days?
Near Bellevue.
Where's that? I don't know Pittsburgh yet.
That must be the northeast side of Pittsburgh, I would think.
Well, what are your early memories of Pittsburgh?
Oh, I liked it.
You did, huh?
Yeah, I thought the big city was great.
And you lived in Belleville, huh?
Sewickley RD.
Oh, I see, over there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice area, isn't it?
Yeah. And
do you remember any of the big steel owners who lived there? Do you know much about Sewickley? Did you ever see any of the rich people?
Oh, we had hunt club privileges because the hunt club used to cross my mother's land.
Oh, I see. Hunting foxes?
Yeah, her father had divided the land between his five children. So on Saturdays we often saw the horses and their riders in their bright red jackets and the horse, the dogs chasing. We'd hear their bugles sound. That's quite a fond memory.
Yeah.
And I still, when I'm going to the airport, I watch down along the road there. And once in a long while I'll see
The hunt?
The hunt, yeah. And so that was a real special occasion as a child when they would have a huge dinner for all the people whose land they did cross.
Oh, they had good relationships with those people.
Yeah, they did.
What was the dinner like?
Oh, it was just about the most elegant thing in my childhood. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, that's a well-to-do area, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. We waited a long time, but the meal was worth it. But, I think it seemed like thousands of people there. It was just a grand affair.
Yeah. What was it like living around Sewickley? You lived in the... Did you live on a farm?
No, just a little dwelling that I remember my father paid $3,000. I think he sold it for $3,000 when we moved back to the Grove City area. About 1944.
Oh. So, and you spent a lot of the war living there in that Sewickley area, huh?
Well, I was born in the Depression, 1931, and came to Grove City again when I was 12, so actually it was during
43,
the war area.
Right in the middle of the war. Was it 43? You came?
Must have been. Mm-hmm.
Was it much of a change to come up here to Mercer area?
Oh, since it was already living down there, and then when we came here, we moved to the Oddfellows Farm. There was a farm just attached, well, it was on the grounds of the Oddfellows home.
Why did your father come back?
Was
he anxious to get back to where he'd been born?
Good question. Never thought of that. I wonder why. Must have looked like the promised land from the other end.
How is it he took this now? He took a farm on the Oddfellows.
Well, he managed it.
He managed the farm for the Oddfellows, is that it?
He was a tenant. He lived in the house provided. It was a double house.
Was it you who had some photographs of the Oddfellows farm, or was it someone else? It sticks in the back of my mind. I have seen photographs of that farmhouse. You don't have?
No, I don't have any.
I have seen those.
Big barn, huge barn across from the double house.
Oh, where was the farm? Is it still a farm now?
No, it's
Can you tell me where
now.
It was?
I was just asking you the direction.
Directly north of the old
Directly north, okay.
The lane is still there.
And that road, you can turn off of the road, the Harrisville Road, and turn left and go north.
To is Enterprise that, Road.
Well, you go past the Cooper Bessemer there, the edge of the college. Was it abutting the college?
Yes.
On that road, yeah. Okay, that was the farm, huh?
Up by the water tower.
Yeah,
very,
okay.
Very, very near the water tower.
Okay.
The house went first, and very recently the barn has been removed.
What have they done there? What houses?
No, just leveled it.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Just cleared the land, but
uh-huh.
they used to farm the fields.
Uh-huh.
They still have a lot of property.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It seems a shame. It's like the Pennsylvania Junior Republic when we had our farm behind the Republic, before we sold it to them. That was then the George Junior Republic, and they produced all their own meat,
yeah.
all their own milk,
meat,
wow. meat, and their own beef,
oh.
their own pork, chickens.
Yeah,
huge garden in the summertime.
Uh-huh.
And the boys, that was
oh.
considered part of their duty.
Yeah,
they spent hours in those gardens.
Good idea too. I bet it's bureaucracy. They probably get paid state money on the basis of how much, what is it, what it costs them, and since it costs them nothing to raise it, they don't get credit for it. I bet that's what it is.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, and they had to. That's a foolish thing, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
I was thinking when Louise said we sold our house for $3,000, that seems like a very little bet, but in 43, when we sold our farm to the Junior Republic, now that was a 125-acre farm with a very nice house and
mm-hmm.
barn and
yeah.
outbuildings for $65,000.
$65,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
In that day,
that's a lot
of money.
Yeah.
Was it $6,500? Is that what you said?
Excuse me.
$6,500.
$6,500.
Yeah.
See, that's...
standard.
Almost twice
yeah.
as much.
Almost twice as
but
much.
But of course, it was farm.
Yeah, not
that's
in
right.
Pittsburgh.
But
yeah.
the dollar value today, now you probably
oh, yeah.
couldn't buy either place even without buildings.
Yeah.
But
yeah, for that.
Or
yeah.
Two or three times that
yeah.
amount.
I remember a house in Chicago in the Depression. It was sold out from under us for $2,800, and my father wanted to buy it, couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. In the mid 30s. $2,800. Yeah. I can still see that house. It's my first house that I remember.
Oh, you had lived in it.
Yeah, we lived there. We lived there renting it. And the guy had to sell it, and he would have been happy to sell it to us, but we couldn't come up with $2,800. Not in the city. Yeah. Well, anyway, what was it like for you when you got back here? What did you think of the schools? Did you go to school in Grove City?
Oh, see, when we, I'm all mixed up here. When we came back, my younger sisters were going to go to North Liberty School, and I was going to be in eighth grade.
North Liberty? Why? You lived way over there.
We were just there for less than a year, weren't we? Yeah, and then we
oh.
moved to Meadowview Farms, which is back very near to Browntown School.
Oh,
Daddy would just sort of cross the tracks then because
uh-huh.
he had lived
uh-huh.
on the Harrisville side. Now he is on
oh.
this.
By the way, was that what was the name of that school, Browntown School?
Uh-huh.
Is it still, is the building still there?
It became a dwelling, but I'm
uh-huh.
not sure it was there. I'll have to look some.
Uh-huh. Okay. So then you moved there, and what school would you have gone to?
North Liberty School.
From there?
From
all the way over to North Liberty?
Yeah.
That seems like a
there
long
way.
There
was a man drove his car. We didn't have a bus, but Mr. Howard Brenneman picked us up and drove us to school. He was the bus driver, so to speak.
Well, what about the school at Browntown?
Oh, it wasn't in use at that time.
Oh, it already closed, is that
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it may have just been.
Gee, I would have thought that Grove City had been closer than North Liberty.
Well, I did go there because Daddy had to pay tuition, but he was afraid I wouldn't passed the eighth grade examination.
Oh, I see. Now, we talked about that yesterday with Jim, and I've talked with others, this controversy over whether one-room schools were any good or not. Your father felt that they weren't good enough. Is that he's willing to pay tuition in Grove City rather than send you to North Liberty. Is that right?
Yeah, just for me, though, because it was my eighth grade.
Oh,
and there was such an
just
adjustment
one year,
between the Pittsburgh and
Grove
City.
Oh, I see. Well,
uh-huh.
It wasn't really the academic level of the school as much as it was. I see.
Because my mother had been ill, and I had missed a lot of school taking care of my youngest sister, who was a baby at
yeah.
the time.
Uh-huh.
And I had missed quite a lot, and he was afraid that I would fail a year.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or... Well, it was a sacrifice, sort of.
Yeah.
Daddy wanted to pay my tuition, get me into
school. Do you know what the tuition was for Grove City School?
Seems to me it was like $10 a month.
Mm-hmm. Not an inconsiderable amount in those days.
No. I don't know how I would check on that. It's an interesting question.
Well, what do you remember when you were when you got back when you were living over there in Brown Town? Same as Jim, you had work to do.
Yeah.
That kept you pretty busy, huh?
Then I had lots of babysitting. In fact, while I was still in high school, I lived with Dr. Furlongs and people in town keeping their children. So
you lived there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, so it was easier to get to school, wasn't it?
Well, that and then a little bit of extra money to help out, because I don't think Daddy made too much on the farm.
Yeah.
Mother used to bake pies and bread and go to farmer's market.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, every Tuesday and Friday.
Well, tell me about the farmer's market. Where was it located?
In the same location it is now, in the parking lot
Was that always a parking lot?
What was that, Jim? How long's that been a parking lot? Goes back to, 40...
When I was a boy, it was Frank Smith's greenhouse.
Five or so.
That was a greenhouse.
Thank you.
Well, where did they hold the farmer's market when it was a greenhouse?
I don't recall the farmer's market then.
I would expect it started as soon as the parking lot came.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, farmer's markets ended, at least I got this from the Mercer history, when people got cars and they could go out on these back roads, farmers then set up stalls to sell the food, you know, like we have now. And the newspaper implied, well, this is the end of the farmers markets in town because people are now going to go out and get their fresh vegetables. So I gather that a farmers market had been a normal thing. The farmers would come to town with their produce because nobody owned cars. So that's why I'm curious to know about the Grove City farmers market. There must have been one, but when the greenhouse was up, because people didn't have cars. But you don't remember before that.
Roger Paganelli and his father had a produce market on Broad Street.
Well, how do you spell his name?
Paganelli. Paganelli. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Something like that.
They went to Pittsburgh, they had an old truck, and they would go to Pittsburgh daily.
For produce?
For produce, and bring back.
They didn't buy it from local farmers.
Well, they may have.
Uh-huh. But in winter, of course, they...
But most of it was, and of course, seasonable items, especially would be brought to Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
And that would come from the farmers market.
Well, how many farmers would come to the farmers market here in Grove City? Has it changed much today? Would they have two or three farmers there usually today?
Mm-hmm.
No, about six, eight.
Six,
yeah,
eight.
Yeah, six to 12. Uh-huh. I don't think ever more than 10 or 12.
Uh-huh. Has that pretty much stayed the same since your day?
It appears to, yeah. Uh-huh. Even looking at their tables, homemade bread is uh-huh. one of the big sellers.
Was it then too?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. In fact,
now what were the big sellers?
Mother usually arrived having sold all the bread she could bring.
Oh,
it
now this is a good
ordered.
Story. This
people
farmers
ready.
Markets. So she sold all the bread she could make.
Mm-hmm.
How many loaves did she sell?
Mm-hmm. No less than a dozen.
And
perhaps
she went in
20.
Twice a week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And
well, weren't there bakeries in town to bake that bread?
Well, it would be packaged up. Hers didn't have a bag around it.
People wanted that
kind of
bread.
Hers was
right
out of the oven.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
It was. She couldn't get there much before noon because she wanted everything to be so fresh that she would be up at 6 o'clock getting it ready.
Do you remember what she sold the bread for?
I think a quarter loaf.
And how much was it at a bakery?
Ah, probably the same.
No, I'd say around 15 cents.
She sold it for more. It was in demand then.
20 or 25 cents.
Oh, that's good. That's very interesting.
Yeah, and during that period, the ideal bakery was probably at its highest. Ideal Bakery was one of the largest bakeries in town. And
Ideal?
Yeah, uh-huh. Ideal was the name, but and it was located about where Riverside Market is
uh-huh.
today. It was in
yeah.
in that area.
Uh-huh.
And, they had, I would say, between 15 and 20 delivery trucks.
15 and 20?
And they delivered to all the towns around this area, as
oh.
well as in the towns and...
Oh.
to homes in those towns and two stores. Dad had a tremendous business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what dollar volume would be, but it was quite high.
Mm. What else did you sell at the farmer's market?
Well, lemon pies and cream pies.
Bakery
like
goods,
the,
huh?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
the pies were big. And I think that was basically
mm-hmm.
the two.
What was the price of a pie? Do you remember that?
It seemed to me maybe 30 cents. I'll have to
mm-hmm.
check with Mother on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I've written
mm-hmm.
it down here.
Was there a special clientele who tended to patronize the farmers markets?
Well, as I said, mostly the same customers would
mm-hmm.
have it ordered before she
oh.
arrived.
I see.
She would be pretty certain
uh-huh.
that it was all going to sell.
Was that all year round?
Remember standing there in the snow shivering and
oh.
I thought it looked like a dreadful way to make a living. In fact, it embarrassed me that she did it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
As a teenager, I just thought, oh, my mother
mm-hmm.
doesn't have to
mm-hmm. yeah.
suffer so to make a dime. But
yeah.
She really enjoyed it, and she
mm-hmm.
had an oatmeal box on the top of her china cupboard that she tucked all that money in.
Oh, she got to keep the money then.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I expect she bought carpet with it.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you sell eggs? Or?
Yeah, we must have had eggs on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Eggs and the baked goods and then the
mm-hmm.
vegetable products in the summertime. Rhubarb was a big thing,
mm-hmm.
fresh rhubarb. And there's scads of that.
What about sassafras tea and horseradish? In Mercer, every spring, some guy would come around selling sassafras and horseradish. It was a kind of spring tonic. Did you ever hear that? I think it may be in that.
Yeah,
thing.
It is. I read that.
You ever hear
I've
that?
I never heard of
that. I
never
heard of
it.
Mm-hmm.
Jim's father always talked about the black molasses, honey, and vinegar.
Uh-huh.
Oh, blackstrap molasses.
Uh-huh.
He thought that would cure every ill. And
well, we had her on horseradish. I recall that. Yeah.
Well, I would like
mm-hmm.
that.
But don't know any peddlers.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Did you come in with your mother every Tuesday and Thursday and Friday?
Oh, no, you can bet I didn't.
You didn't like that.
Having her there was bad enough. Oh, I helped her get it ready to go, and there were a few times, but no, she rather enjoyed doing that on her own. That was sort of her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh.
I guess Daddy didn't mind that.
Mm-hmm. Funny, women, there was a prejudice against women working, but when it came to something like that, there was no feeling at all that it was a woman becoming independent.
Yeah, it was still sort of domesticated in that it was her home.
Yeah. Yeah.
The kitchen goods that she was dealing with.
Yeah. Well, when did you go into town? Was Grove City your town? Did you go shopping on Saturday nights or anything?
Yes, every Friday night. The
Friday
stores were open Friday nights, and it was a big time.
Mm-hmm.
People stood on the street and visited.
Uh-huh.
Don't remember so much the buying as the visiting.
Mm-hmm. What? Who talked to whom? Townspeople to farmers or farmers to farmers?
Yeah, farmers to farmers. Mm-hmm. Now, my daddy really favored mother there because I can remember from the time I was very small in Pittsburgh how he would drive us into north side Pittsburgh. They had the old market on the north side. You've heard of that?
Uh-huh, I think I have.
All the stores under one roof the way we have it now with our malls. And
well,
all
maybe
the
I haven't heard of that.
Counters around this.
Where
side.
Was that?
Very close there, I think, to the planetarium. Forbes Field, sort of that area.
Mm-hmm.
Mother would go about doing her shopping, and Daddy would put us up on a stool at the little bar and get us a big glass of buttermilk and crackers, and we'd stay while she shopped. Well, the same thing when we came to Grove City. She was in that habit of shopping Pittsburgh Saturdays, but then Friday night, as I say, was a big time. Daddy would still stay pretty much in the car. We kids were big enough then to be on our own, but the mother would, I can still see her visiting on the sidewalks with the other farm ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where did they congregate in Grove City? At the movie theaters or at a particular store?
In front of the Murphys, 5 and 10.
Is that right? You know, they still seem to do that, don't they? At least it seems to me, it's been years, but people would gather outside Murphys more than anywhere else. I wonder if that's still true.
I doubt it.
That was my impression. When I first came to Grove City, you know, I would think Murphy's was the place. People seemed to be standing outside there. Maybe it was the tradition carrying on.
It was the largest storefront, for one thing.
Uh-huh.
Gave you more
sidewalk
space.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And it had a variety of things inside that you might be going for rather than one item in a shoe store or whatever. Yeah, that's where they congregated.
The only time we congregated at the theater was at Bank Night.
Old Bank Night.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I've got it in there. I don't remember personally. I think I remember the glass dishes my mother used to get. But I don't. Can you tell me much about Bank Night around here?
Well, they would.
It took Mercer by storm.
Yeah, well,
my
it did
goodness.
All the little towns.
Uh-huh.
Now, evidently, business had dropped off.
Yeah.
About what period it was.
35 or 36, something like that.
They were trying to.
It's in my list there. I know I've got it in there where it would be.
Your ticket number.
Yeah.
Would be the number you held on to and your stuff. And it would be up to maybe $5 silver.
Oh.
For the first, and maybe on down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it was in Mercer. It was $25, and 1 week it got up to $100 because if you didn't show up, they didn't award the prize. And so the next week it was $50, and it got up to $100. They had three showings of the film that The on the $100, yes, and the it's quite a story in the book.
Talking about the stores, though, I have to tell you something about Lang's department store in Mercer.
Uh-huh.
I always thought that was the quaintest store.
Oh, good.
It was
tell
like
me
from
about
a different age. It just
why?
Didn't seem to belong in this age. Well, because the clerks and the merchandise always seemed
old.
At least 100 years old.
That's good. That's a good story.
But the counter was just what in general.
Uh-huh. Was it like that jewelry, the photograph of that jewelry store yesterday in the album? What exactly made it so old looking? Do you remember?
I think the variety of merchandise, because
what did
you
they
could
have?
See where they kept adding the new,
yeah.
But they never destroyed or removed the old. It was there, and I'm sure that some of it just had to be.
Well, I'd love to zero in on Langdon's store.
Yeah.
What did it look like from the outside? Do you remember the lantern hanging in the vestibule? I've got a photograph of a Mercer store with apparently a kerosene lamp. See, they didn't have electric street lights, and they actually had lights in the vestibule.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that by any chance?
No.
Or was that a little too?
Bring it down.
Before your time. What kind of lighting did Langdon's have? When
I'm
do
not
you remember?
Sure they had any.
It was in the '40s,
so
huh?
Dark.
It was dark, huh?
That was the overall appearance of it. Yeah.
What year did you first go into Langdon's? About 43.
Oh.
44.
A little later, probably than that.
That was on the North Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
That was Langdon's.
I think.
What was that store over where G.C. Murphy's is now? If it wasn't Langdon's, it was a drapery.
I wasn't familiar back that far.
Was it Langdon's next to Hogue Shoe Store?
Could be. Wasn't far down from the bank on the corner.
See if you can resurrect a picture in your mind of Langdon's. Was it a double-width store or just a single ordinary store?
It was sort of two because the hardware...
Yeah,
that
was it was on the alley, wasn't it? Wasn't Langdon's on the alley? There's an alley
the hardware store, part of it may have been.
Oh, there was a hardware store to
it. Yeah, because you sort of, there's like a doorway back in the center of this one huge store. Then you go through into another one the same size.
Oh, double store.
So it was
store.
Sort of divided between the dry
was that?
Goods
and
the hardware.
I see. Was it the biggest store in town?
Oh, it must.
One of the
two, could have
huh?
been,
yeah. Did you ever meet Mr. Lang or see him? Do you remember him?
I always felt like this one little old lady was Mrs. Langdon, but I never knew. I thought it had to be a family that owned it, and whether that was their name.
Mm-hmm.
But they seemed
What
to
did she look like? Very old?
Yeah, very old and white hair and rather tiny. And they never seemed to care whether you bought anything or not.
Interesting. Why? Oh, really?
Just very kind of
standoffish,
sweet
or were they sweet?
Yeah, they never rushed off to offer you help if you wanted something. They knew that you'd come to them.
Uh-huh.
There were cases all along the right hand side.
Glass cases.
Yeah, that held glass and maybe jewelry and. I don't know why the glass would be there. You'd expect it to be over in the hardware department, that side of the store. But
glassware.
They seemed to treasure it. The fact that it was all behind glass doors, you felt like you weren't to touch it.
Oh, I see.
And like it was being protected, but still with the dust.
Oh, it was dusty, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't a terribly well cared for store, I didn't think.
That's interesting. Was it glassware, like bowls and cups?
Mm-hmm. And sort of decorative vases or vases. Or
did that strike you as old-fashioned?
Yes, very.
Because that kind of glass was no longer used.
No, some of it. Now, like I said, they would add newer modern pieces, but they never
kept the
removed
old
the old stock. And it all accumulated.
What else did they have in the store besides glassware? That was on the right side.
Well,
what was in the rear?
More
fabric, they would have garments from baby clothes right up through all the ages and sizes.
Uh-huh.
And then it was mostly in the back of the store, the piece goods.
What's
you could
piece
buy
goods?
Any kind of fabric.
Oh.
By the yard.
Uh-huh.
Just the nicest variety in this whole area. I'm sure you couldn't have got that variety any closer than Sharon.
Is that right?
Grove City
uh-huh.
didn't have it, and neither did any other uh-huh. store in Mercer.
What about today? How would it rate with today's drapery stores?
Greater in quantity, because the only thing we have today is Joanne Fabrics that has
uh-huh.
that. Even our penny stores
yeah.
quit carrying fabrics. So
really
I miss Langdon's.
Uh-huh.
I really do. You
uh-huh.
could get wool, or you could get cotton, or vase,
uh-huh.
or...
I imagine it had electric lights, but you say it was very dark.
It
huh?
could have been those long tubes, or the incandescent light bulbs, the...
You mean fluorescent?
Fluorescent.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
when they did put up lighting, because uh-huh. I don't remember long... You'd expect long chains with a...
Yeah, the old-fashioned.
Bulb
huh?
or globe
yeah.
on it. In fact, I can almost see that in my mind. They probably had a few hanging bulbs.
uh-huh. yeah.
Way at the back of the store, it
uh-huh.
got even darker and more dismal than up front.
uh-huh. How many clerks were there?
Probably three. You know, they weren't too plentiful because I don't think they
yeah.
did a great amount of business.
Uh-huh.
And still, they had to have prospered to stay in business as long as they did.
Yeah.
They just closed a few years ago.
Oh, is that
three,
right?
5, maybe
that,
the
that
most.
Recently?
Oh, yeah.
Langdon's. Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was spelled with L-A-N-G, D-M-N-S.
Yeah, L-A-N-G, Langdon.
L-A-N-D-O-N, and I'm not sure.
No, it's L-A-N-G, D-O-N, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. They had a hardware store with it? That's kind of odd,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I seldom went over there, but... That seemed to be the men's side of
uh-huh.
the store. They never came into the women's
oh.
side, and the ladies seldom went over there.
I suppose Mr. Langdon took care of that. It's an odd combination.
I would like to know the age of the Langdons, whether I ever had seen any
uh-huh.
of them or whether these were
yeah.
clerks they hired.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know.
Mm-hmm. Who I could find out.
Do you remember any other stores in Mercer?
Just the old Isley store.
Where was that located?
Well,
Oh, near J.C. Murphy, wasn't it?
Yeah, next,
yeah.
almost next
yeah.
door, or right directly next door, maybe.
Why do you remember Isley's?
They had good lunches. I always liked Isley's stores, I guess, and ice cream.
Warm, kind of friendly place.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah. Aren't many of those around now either.
Yeah.
Jim managed an Isley's store, I guess that's
oh,
why.
Oh, is that
I,
right?
Yeah, in fact, when we recording, that was his business.
Boy, that's a beautiful model. Oh, is this that Reliant?
This is the model.
Oh.
In fact, it's so impressed me. I used the same basic colors.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
on that airplane. It was maroon and red.
Cute.
Which airplane, Jim?
Mirabelle pickup.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It was a 4-passenger
uh-huh.
airplane. Just to see how broad they had gall, what they call gall wings, and very broad wings at the root, which permitted the airplane to fly very slowly.
Oh, is that what does that?
Mm-hmm.
It looks very sturdy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was quite a large airplane for...
Beautiful job. You know how to make models.
Would it take two fellas, then, the pilot and someone to maneuver this bag
yeah,
that
they
picked
a,
up?
They
huh?
had a trap door. They built a trap door into the back of the airplane. I suppose they had a little winch or something.
Yeah.
They'd pull the
bag up in with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
A very large airplane to come that low.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if they went back to that way of gathering the mail, we might have better
your service.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It wouldn't take much to improve the service.
We haven't really improved everything, have we?
No. Well, we were talking about commercial. You remember Isley's? Do you remember the corner drugstore?
No, Jim.
It was down
Mercer.
Was that really an institution?
I would think so, yeah.
Did you ever have sodas there?
I think so.
You remember Lindsay's drugstore? Was that still there when you were there? That was the other famous drugstore in town. Two Sisters? Well, maybe it was sold in the '20s, I'm not sure. You remember the Hotel Humes?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful.
What was that like?
Well, I recall in nice weather as I recall, any time that I can remember, it was either white or a yellow paint in color.
Uh-huh.
And there were always people sitting on the porch, it seemed like, for the hotel.
They didn't have two big long porches, two stories.
It was big, yeah.
Yeah, I think it went around the
side.
It was on West Market, corner of West Market,
yeah.
Yeah. It's quite big. People sat out there, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have dinner there? The dining room?
No, I never, in fact, I don't recall whether I was ever in the hotel. I don't think I ever was.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it was considered.
Built in the '20s.
The Bessemer entertained all their people, and I think probably the Bessemer was responsible for
having it built. Uh-huh.
Well, may have been responsible for Prelling. I don't know that, but I know that in the early years when I first worked at the Bessemer, that it was everyone stayed at the Pengrove Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall one time someone opened a little hotel up in Hallville and called it the Grove City Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That's still there, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, but it caused a lot of problems and a lot of people upset. We had the Travelers and the Pengrove.
The Travelers was for salesmen, is that it?
I would say yes, generally. Mm-hmm. Salesmen, chiropractors.
Mm-hmm. Less desirable types, is that the idea?
More or less, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It seemed to be that way.
Yeah.
And cheaper, that's probably why it was the less desirable.
The problem with Pengrove in the spring of the year, when the creeks would overflow, the Pengrove would quite often get flooded. And
it's in a low spot there, isn't
low
it?
Areas,
yeah.
Areas,
called the Wolf Creek Room because
the Wolf Creek Room because the Wolf Creek was in it most of the time in the spring.
That's a good one.
I wanted to add a bit just about the Mercer Sanatorium because Jim and I were married in 50. He was laid off, worked at the Cooper Bessemer, and we went to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And both worked down there for a while. And then,
whereabouts
my
in Florida?
My mother had Miami.
Oh. How'd you like Miami?
Loved it.
Yeah?
I worked in Burdines and he was a car repairman. Got them ready for car salesmen.
Uh-huh.
Put them on the lot.
Yeah.
And but Mother got ill while we were gone. I don't know whether it was because her oldest and first daughter got married and left home and she couldn't. She had three younger children. She never was a well, strong woman, but this was her breakdown.
Uh-huh.
And we got a call saying she was in the Mercer Sanatorium, and so we came home and went to visit her there.
Was that the Mercer Cottage Hospital or the Mercer Sanitarium?
Sanitarium.
That's funny, isn't it? Why would they put her there?
using shock treatment.
Oh.
And I didn't know anything about
yeah,
that. I didn't know whether it was new.
Uh-huh.
But it was a difficult period.
Yeah.
And that one picture just seems
so familiar.
Yeah.
Huh? Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I really will be eager to find out if I.
What do you remember about the sanitarium? I mean, the inside, was it comfortable or uncomfortable, well painted, or any memories of it?
No, I really don't. I guess my feelings for Mother were about the only thing I recall at
yeah.
that time. She just seemed so delicate and fragile. And,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think that things were terribly gloomy, or I would have remembered that.
Yeah. What year was that
acceptable.
About?
1950.
And the sanitarium was still in operation at that time, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much longer it was. But that's
mm-hmm.
how they were treating the nervous disorders at
mm-hmm.
that time in that. I think mm-hmm. they had a rather good doctor there. I can't recall what
yeah.
his name was.
Well, they used shock treatments until recently, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah. Not until they have these tranquilizers did they change, yeah. Well, what do you remember about the war in Mercer Grove City from your eyes? How did the town change?
The farm where we lived, can you help? A man from Pittsburgh owned that farm. He made artificial flowers and decorations. In fact, he did most of the store windows in Pittsburgh, Kaufman's
oh.
and Horns and all
mm-hmm.
the big department
mm-hmm.
stores.
Mortgat.
Yeah, Marcel Mortgat was his name.
Yeah.
And there were so many rumors that he hid bombers and things up there in the barn where my father managed Meadowview Farms.
If I knew Louise had come from that farm at that period, I probably wouldn't have had any daughter.
Really?
Yeah, no, this was about the time when they were talking about the screamer being out on the.
Yeah.
The overpass.
Uh-huh.
And of course, that was very close to Meadowview Farms. And they said, well, no.
Oh, Meadowview Farms is Browntown, right? Near
yeah,
Browntown.
Well, this
yeah.
side of the tracks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here was this huge barn. Well, the farm had three barns on it, actually. But in the main barn, here was two big silos. And everybody knew that they had radios in those silos.
Oh, because
all kinds of spy activity going on there.
Uh-huh. Because he had a foreign name? Is that
possibly.
The...
Possibly.
Uh-huh.
That's probably part of it, you know. Uh-huh. And I think the Browns kind of did their thing and ran the farm and took care of themselves. And people that didn't know,
mm-hmm.
like, were suspicious.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the rumors died
suspicious
away.
Of everybody then.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I lived over at the Oddfellows during the very time that screamer was on the
run,
road there.
On the loose.
And